Thanks. Welcome. It's great to see all of you here. Let me welcome everybody joining us online. Man, those students look like they were having such a great time at camp, and it just got me thinking, when did we stop going to camp? We need to bring that back. We need camp for adults. I'm just going to give that declaration today, all right? Somebody get on that. Now, we're not going to do the sack races. I mean, we'd all just break in half, right? That's not happening. But I don't know. I mean, maybe that's something we can figure out. So, hey, if you're here for the first time, we're glad you're here, and we hope it's okay with you. We like to have some fun in church, see what God's Word has to say. And we are kicking off a brand new series today called Be a Light. Excited to share with you about that. But first, let me talk about something this fall that's going to be a little different. We offer a membership class from time to time, but we're going to offer it this fall on Sunday nights instead of Sunday afternoons, 6 to 8 o'clock p.m., and there's 6 different dates for the fall. Now, the reason why it's a little different is I'm asking you, even if you're already a member, to sign up for one of these dates. It's really more of a recommitment to membership. So if you've been to membership class in the last year, you've probably heard, you know, all of the things. But even with that, there's just a lot that we are starting to work on right now and plan for when it comes to 2026. And it's too much to talk about on a Sunday. We'll start talking about some high-level things on Sundays towards the end of the year. But I really want to like circle the wagons a little bit. I don't even know where that phrase came from. I like it. All right, circle the wagons a little bit. Somebody Google that. Not now, later. Anyway, circle the wagons a little bit. And just talk with our members. Hey, here's what we think God's calling us to. It's some big things. We want you to be a part of it. What does that mean? What does it look like to take full ownership of that? So again, if you scan the QR code, all those dates will be there. Just scroll down a little further on your phone. I'll be talking a lot about this over the next several weeks, so you don't have to get signed up today. But if you know the date already that works for your schedule, you can do that. But we are kicking off Be a Light today. We're going to spend 4 weeks talking about this idea that I believe, biblically, if you're a Christ follower, you've been called to be a light. So let me give you the foundational passage for the entirety of this series. It comes directly from Jesus, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Jesus says, "You're the light of the world." Interesting that the light of the world, Jesus, is telling us that we too are also to be lights. "You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." And ultimately, that's what happens when we shine our lights. We do so in a way where it reflects on God, our Heavenly Father. And we're going to talk a lot in this series about how do we shine our lights individually. We leave this place, we go out into the world God's called us into, primarily to be a light. It doesn't matter what your season of life is. You might be a student, God's called you to be a light. You might be into your occupation, God's called you to be a light. In fact, that's one of the things we're going to talk a lot about specifically in a couple of weeks. What does it look like when it comes to your career? And I get asked this question a lot. How can I share my faith at work? How can I shine my light? I don't want to upset people. I don't want to offend people. They believe differently than me, but I know I've been called to be a light. We're going to talk about that in a couple of weeks. We're also going to talk about in this series, what does it look like for us collectively as the church family to be a light in this community? When crisis occurs, when a disaster strikes, like it did a few weeks ago with the flooding, what is our response? We've been working on that as a church. Some of you have asked. We're going to be rolling that out in this series. And so there's a group component to being a light. There's an individual component to being a light. And I want to challenge you to be a part of this series. Even if you can't be on our campus, we put the services online every week on YouTube. You can listen to the podcast if you prefer just to listen to the audio while driving around. But I do believe over the next 4 weeks, we can see how God's called us to be a light. Before today, where I want to start this series, and here's the title of our message today, is Finding Your Place on the Team. And when I talk about finding your place on the team, I quite simply mean your place here at New Hope. The church can be described a number of ways, a family, a fellowship. Maybe today, we think about it as a team. You can accomplish a lot in your life by yourself. You can accomplish a whole lot more when you do it with others. And church is really a great picture of what it looks like to be on a team. And what I think we're going to see today is that God has wired all of us to serve on his team. Let me give you a verse that kind of really begins to define that for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. There's different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. So there's different things that each of us can do. When we do them together, it helps make the team better. And I like thinking about church as a team. If I wasn't a pastor, probably I would have been a coach as a full-time occupation. I love coaching. I don't do it full-time, obviously, but I can coach football and basketball with my boys from time to time. And when you coach a team, you have to help the team understand that there's different things that make a team go well. If you've never coached middle school boys football before, it's a blessing. All right, so let me tell you what the first day of practice looks like. It doesn't matter where you live, what part of the country. They all show up to practice the first day, and they all tell you that they play quarterback. All of them. And the challenge at that age is to help them see, well, there's only one quarterback. And actually, for us to succeed as a team, everybody has to recognize what their individual contribution can be to the team. And it might be in a position that nobody ever knows about. But if you do it the right way, guess who recognizes it? Your teammates. Guess who recognizes it? Your coaches. And ultimately, that's what can make our team successful. And I believe serving the church is very similar. That when everybody is recognizing how they're gifted and what they can do and how they can serve, that it makes the team better. So I want you to grab your message notes. We're going to get to those in just a second, whether you're going to write them down or do them digitally on your phone. But before we do, I want to introduce you to someone who has found her place on the team. She's serving in our Next Generation Ministry area. We're going to be sharing some stories of serving with you throughout this series. And in many ways, she is going to share with us the goal, I believe, for each of us, that we find somewhere that we can serve. So before we jump into our notes, start jotting some things down. Take a look at this video.
Hey, New Hope. My name is Day Naples, and I serve with seventh graders and students. A couple years ago, when I finished Rooted, a few of my Rooted members thought that volunteering with students would be a good fit for me. And by their continual encouragement, that drove me to volunteer. And now I'm so glad that I did it because the students have blessed me more than they could ever know. I have experienced God in new ways with serving in students, by God revealing to me words of wisdom to give to the students. Pastor Adam once said something along the lines of how we as adults cannot really relate to the current struggles students are experiencing because we have not experienced it at their age at this time. And so I feel like God has given me the wisdom to try to help students through their nuanced struggles. He's revealed their desire to know him and has really shown me ways to help them articulate the struggles that they're going through if they don't really know how to explain it to us as a leader. And I feel like as leaders, we have the responsibility to help our youth grow spiritually. I have experienced quite a few benefits from serving with students, such as building a stronger prayer life and creating a stronger connection with my students. My students are so passionate about their extracurricular activities, whether it's track or softball or swim meets. I have girls who are just musically inclined, and that just gives me such a newfound joy to see them excited about these things, as well as sharing their experiences every Wednesday when they come. I'm just excited for them. My faith has grown through obedience and being more sensitive to the voice of God. I have been humbled in recognizing that God does indeed know better than I do, and God knew where to place me so that I could contribute to the church body as a whole. For those of you looking to take your next steps at New Hope, I strongly encourage you to come join us and volunteer at Students. You will grow tremendously in your faith. It will help you practice caring for others. You'll be challenged in ideas. You'll gain so much community. I promise you, and I guarantee you, you will grow spiritually by leaps and bounds.
They did such a great job with that video. All right, grab your notes. I'm going to give you an acronym. It's going to guide us today, and it's the word SHAPE. All right, so what we're going to do today is we're going to walk through each of these letters and talk about how God shaped you for ministry. Now, I didn't come up with this. This was developed out at Saddleback Church under Pastor Rick Warren's leadership, but I've used this tool for years, whether it was with students, whether it was with adults, because it's a self-inventory. So you're gonna have fun today. You're gonna learn about you. You're gonna learn about how God's wired you, and ultimately, maybe get some insights into where your place, what your role can be here on the team at New Hope Church. All right, so here's the S. If you're taking notes, first thing, spiritual gifts. Your spiritual gifts. That if you're a Christ follower, if you've asked Jesus to come into your life, if you've been born again, we use a number of different ways to describe this experience. The New Testament teaches that the Holy Spirit gives you spiritual gifts. Now, you don't choose your spiritual gifts. God in His sovereignty gives them to you through the Holy Spirit, and they're given for the benefit of others. And so let me take you to a passage. It doesn't list off all of the spiritual gifts, but I think this is a pretty good start. To kind of see what some of them are. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. For just as each of us has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to the others. We all have different gifts, according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. And if it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So that's a pretty good list. And there are some inventories you can take. In fact, if you really get into this today, you can find the shape inventory, like the inventory to take you through all of these letters. It's out there. Don't go to it right now because it's a commitment, all right? So if you want to do the entire thing, it's going to take you about 40 minutes. I know that because I started it this week and then my ADD kicked in and I quit, all right? So I did not finish the entire thing. It was a long thing, all right? But it is super helpful. I'm kind of giving you the 30,000 foot perspective. But what are your spiritual gifts? You can take an inventory, but I have found that sometimes the best way to figure out your spiritual gifts is to just start serving or get connected in a church. Did you notice in the video? She shared how some of her friends from her Rooted life group encouraged her to do this. Why? They had recognized a spiritual gift. You may be in a group, a life group. Someone goes, wow, every time you share, it's just super helpful. Conversely, you may be in a group, and every time you share, someone goes, nah, enough, all right? So figure out what you're good at, figure out what you're not good at. Sometimes you're just serving, and you stumble your way into recognizing a spiritual gift. That happened to me when I was 16 years old. I'm 16 years old. I'm serving at my high school. I went to a public high school called North Cobb High School in the metro Atlanta area. We had FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and apparently the speaker canceled like the day before. So one of my coaches came to me, and he's like, Bishop, you got to do the talk tomorrow. That's a football coach describing how to teach the Bible, right? You need to show up early, and you need to teach us something from the Bible. I've never done this in my life. I'm like, oh, okay. So like I got up the next morning, and I went, and I just shared kind of what I'd been reading in the Bible. And y'all, it was bad, all right? But what I did was I basically told the story about how Peter was in jail, and he was handcuffed, and this angel came and like swung open the doors. And the angel looked at Peter and said, you need to put on your shoes and grab your coat. Now, this is after the angel had opened the doors and knocked off the handcuffs. And as a 16-year-old, I just made the point, that seems weird to me. Because if you're an angel and you can open doors and you can knock off handcuffs, we're kind of on a prison escape here. Surely you could have put the shoes on Peter's feet, right? Like supernaturally dropped the coat on his shoulders, but the angel didn't do that. And the Lord kind of helped me see this as a 16-year-old kid. Well, why? Well, because Peter could do that. Like he's perfectly capable of putting on his shoes and putting on his coat. And I just made the point that if we want to see God do things in our life, maybe we should start doing the things that we can do. And I prayed and said, amen, and that was it. And I mean, I was just relieved it was over. And my coach pulled me aside and he's like, Bishop, I've read that story 100 times. I've never thought of that. Maybe God's gifted you to teach the Bible. A coach just pointed that out. Well, what's happening there? I was just serving. And I know that's kind of a random example, but the point is if you'll just jump in and start doing something, sometimes in the community of faith and relationships that begin to form, it'll be somebody else that begins to speak words of life and help you see a spiritual gift that God's given you. I had that happen for me, all right? Let's keep moving through the letters. Let me give you the letter H, and it stands for the word heart. What do you care about? What are you passionate about? What do you love? I love team sports, okay? Some of y'all don't like sports, that's okay. Some of y'all like coding, that's awesome. I don't even know what that means, all right? Some of y'all like different things. In fact, there's never been a time to be alive where people have more interest. Now, the reason why I talk about that is we think that we have to check those interests at the door, that we have to somehow leave the things that we care about behind when we come to church. And what I'm trying to help you see is what you're passionate about may actually be an area that God wants to cultivate further with how you serve. Let me give you a fun verse if you've never heard before. I love this verse, Psalm chapter 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. High school students that just went to camp, okay? Come back from camp. What are we supposed to do? Where are we supposed to go? What's next in my life? I'll give it to you. Delight yourself in the Lord. Walk with the Lord. Every single day when you get up, walk with the Lord. Do things God's way. Give your life to God's purposes. And here's the promise of Scripture. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Over time, he'll begin to shape the desires of your heart in a way where you recognize how he's wired you can be used for greater purposes. Please do not ignore the things that you care about, because see, your spiritual gifts and what you're passionate about also cooperate with the third letter. So let me go ahead and give that to you. Then we're going to see how all of these work together. This third letter, A, stands for abilities. What are you good at? What are you good at? So you got these spiritual gifts. You got the things you're passionate about. And then you have your abilities. Now, we are all born with some natural talents, some natural abilities. Okay? Now, here's what God does oftentimes in his sovereignty. God gives us abilities at our birth. And then when you experience a rebirth, when you're born again, you receive spiritual gifts. So abilities at birth, spiritual gifts at rebirth. And in God's sovereignty, oftentimes he syncs them up. They're very similar. They actually work together. Now, where it gets really fun is if your passion and your heart intersects with those things as well. Now we're getting somewhere. But see, as life goes on, you kind of begin to see, okay, this is what I'm good at. And just for a second, like, what are you good at? Like, somewhere along the way in life, adults, we just kind of moved on from that. I mean, we have to make a living. It costs a lot of money. But like deep, like you're good at something. Like, what are you good at? And how has God wired you? And then maybe the self-awareness that sometimes the things we care about, we may not particularly be gifted at. And that's okay. Like, I love music. Like, I'm super passionate about music. I mean, I'll mess around with a guitar here and there, but I don't have any abilities in music. I mean, if I came out here right now and started singing, y'all would all go home. All right, that's what would happen, okay? So like, I love it, but I'm not necessarily gifted at it. So what are you good at? Or think about growing up. Like, were you good at something growing up? You know you're talented at something, or maybe you have a gift at something. If it feels natural to you, you don't even think of it like as a gift. It just feels like something everybody should do. And then at some point you begin to realize, wait, maybe not, because it seems like I can do that. And sometimes as you reflect in life, again, this is about you today, thinking through, maybe God begins to give you an aha moment. You're like, oh, wait a second. So like I've done this a few times over the years, kind of in some, you know, self-reflection and tried to figure out, okay, Lord, how do you want to use me and all the things? And so this happened a number of years ago, but as I reflected on my childhood growing up, I was really only good at three things, okay? Now, I did a lot of things. I played team sports. Actually, it's a more realistic thing to say. I was on teams that participated in team sports. I didn't do a lot of the playing, all right? But I was on the teams, always loved being a part of the team. But the only three things that I was good at, okay? One, I was really good at reading. I was good at reading. Now, that's not something like in the third grade that you like to brag about in the playground. Hey guys, I outread all of you. I mean, it's so like, I just, you know, it's not something, but I was good at reading. The second thing I was really good at, I was good at writing. I was a good writer. Again, now, if you're like a sixth grade boy and you're like, hey guys, I'm good at reading and writing, get you beat up, right? At least where I grew up, right? So, you know, it wasn't something that like I verbalized a lot, but as I reflected, I'm like, y'all, like I won a writing contest when I was 13 years old. I did. Thank you. Yeah, I just, for a second, it didn't get affirmed in that season of my life, so I just need it now, all right? It's cheaper than therapy. Thank you, all right? So I had the reading, I had the writing, and then the third thing I've always been really good at was talking. I mean, I got sent out to the hall a lot, right? And my teachers were always, because I wasn't, I mean, I knew better than to be rude or disrespectful, because then I have to deal with my dad when I got home. So I wasn't going to do that. But like, I would just stop talking. I had one teacher one time, she literally kept me after class and she said, the reason why I send you out into the hall is because you're almost making me laugh. And I've got to keep up this image I have, right? So you can't be making me laugh. So she'd kick me out of class. And so I'm like, well, that's nice. So y'all, when I got her for Christmas one year, this is fun, all right? So I was in high school. I got my high school teacher, I got her a coffee mug with my face on it, and I gave it to her, right? I was like, even after I leave your class, you can see me every day, right? So I was that kid. So like, I got in trouble for talking too much. So I could read, I could write, and I could talk. Guess what I do for a living? Like, I read the Bible, I write sermons, and then I talk about it. I mean, y'all, if this whole thing, if this goes away, honey, I'm not sure what we're gonna do, all right? It's like, I got no other gifts, all right? So like, this is it, okay? So what are you good at? And then how can you spend your time working on what you're good at? How could what you're good at become something that God could actually use in other ways? Like I mentioned coaching earlier. Like I've never been a really good athlete, but one of my spiritual gifts is teaching. So like, I can teach somebody how to shoot a basketball a lot better than I can shoot the basketball, right? So like, if you've got these gifts, they can transfer into all of these different areas. But you need to know what you're good at, okay? Now, here's why that matters so much. We typically focus on the things we're not good at. Like even right now, I'm talking about all these things, and some of you, like, you kind of missed the point because you're thinking, well, I don't read that well, and I don't write that well, and I certainly don't like talking. That's not the point. The point is, like, what are you good at? And instead of focusing on what you don't have, focus on what you're good at and then see how it fits. All right, so let me give you a passage. This is kind of longer, so hang with me here. But I think it's just a really good way of describing this whole idea from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Here's what Paul, he's writing this to a church. He says, if the foot says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand, that doesn't make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? And at this point, it would have been helpful if he'd had a Mr. Potato Head. Like, wouldn't that be great? First century Mr. Potato Head. I have no idea what that would have looked like, all right? But we keep going, okay? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. Some of you right now, you think New Hope doesn't need you. So let's right-size that for a second. Jesus doesn't need any of us. That's one of the benefits of being Jesus. He's God's son. He's fully secure. He's not pacing the floor in heaven right now going, how do we get them to do more stuff? Like, that's not what Jesus is doing. Jesus doesn't need any of us. Jesus has invited us into this incredible mission of letting people know what he did for them. And he's invited us into it in a way where we get to do it together as a group. You get a group project. I loved group projects in school. We got to talk more, right? So that was fun, okay? And he's invited us to do it in a way where we get to use the gifts and the abilities that he has given us. And some of you are missing out because at a church like New Hope, I mean, I appreciate what Pastor Nick did recognizing our worship team. Absolutely. Can I tell you one of the challenges at a church like New Hope? You show up here every week and here's the impression that's given. We've got it covered. I mean, where else are you going to go on a Sunday and be led by a team like that? Some of y'all are incredible musicians, and you're like, I think they got it covered. Some of y'all are incredibly great vocalists. You're like, I think they've got it covered. I don't really think there's a space for me there. You see all these friendly greeters. You go to drop off your kids. And so what begins to happen is the perception is created that, like, you're not needed, that your gifts don't really have a place to be put into practice. And quite simply, church, that's not the case at all. There's always opportunities for you to use your gifts and for you to use your service, all right? So spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, and maybe the P. This one's fun, your personality. What's your personality like, okay? I mean, we got the big labels, like, are you extroverted or are you introverted? Do you like working alone or do you like working in groups? Sometimes we think that we have to become like someone else in order for God to use us. I hope you're recognizing as we move through this progression, God just wants you to be you. He wants you to be who he's created you to be. Now, there's lots of personality assessments, okay? And I like all of them. I think they're all fun. But I just want to give you a basic one. It's kind of modeled after the DISC personality profile. But rather than remembering letters, I think animals are easier to remember. So I'm going to give you four animals that describe four different personality types. And as I describe these, I want you to think about yourself. Maybe like, which one am I? I want you to think about if you're married, your spouse. I want you to think about friends, coworkers, kids, you know, all the things. And then recognizing we typically have one dominant personality and then a secondary one that's pretty close, all right? Four animals. Here we go, okay? First animal I want you to think of is a lion. Now, the personality of a lion, you know, get it done, charge the hill, a little more task-focused, not really into details, sometimes not mindful of how it may make other people feel, but it's like, we've got a goal to accomplish, let's go do it. We sometimes think A-type personalities. Now, there are no personality types that are better than others or godlier than others. They're just different, okay? So lion. Second personality type is an otter. You ever been to a zoo? They throw a ball to the otters. They go crazy. Right? Throwing that ball everywhere. They're not throwing it because they're otters, but they're hitting the ball everywhere. They're having fun. Otters are the life of a party, okay? Otters love to have fun. Otters are typically late. But once they show up, it's gonna get more fun. All right, that's kind of the otter. And everybody lets them off the hook. And all the lions are like, you know, if I got here late, they'd make a big deal about it. Right? But the otters, you know, they get away with it, right? Third personality type, golden retriever. Sweet, kind, loyal, sensitive. Golden retrievers are very great about noticing how other people feel about things, okay? It's just this amazing ability that a golden retriever personality has. And then the fourth personality type is a beaver. Meticulous. Think about a beaver building a little beaver dam with all the little sticks and details and processes. People who have the personality type of a beaver, they love Excel, okay? Does anybody in your life love Excel? You ever sit down with somebody and they're working on Excel and they're like, doop, 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 doop. They do this like little formula and it like, pff, all the numbers change. And I'm like, pff, what just happened, right? And they're like, it's really simple. Want me to show you how? And that's when you leave. Let's go. Like, no, don't show me, all right? Don't ever say yes to that question, okay? So think about those personality types. And then think about like any meeting you've ever been in. Typically a lion will call the meeting. All right, so the lions love meetings, all right? So like the lion's leading the meeting and like, we're gonna do this and then we're gonna do that and it's gonna be awesome and they're telling all this stuff. And then like the otter like didn't even make the meeting. They're late, like so they're not there, okay? And the golden retriever, the whole time the lion's talking is like, well, how's this gonna make everybody feel? Which is only making the lion upset. And the beaver's like, how are we gonna pay for this? Like that's what's happening. Like in a meeting, okay? That sounds like a day in the life of New Hope Church. Right? That sounds like our staff, okay? That sounds like our staff. So now, it's good to have variety. It's good to have variety. So my personality type, like I'm lion, and then like 1A is otter, which means I'm a little conflicted at all times whether we should change the world or throw a party. Like I'm kind of always going back and forth. Lions love the word maximize, and so I'll say maximize a lot, and I get a lot of eye rolls and around the team, so that's kind of fun. So like Pastor Nick, he's an otter, but he's on time, okay? He's on time. I don't want to talk bad about you. That would be bad, all right? Pastor Nick is on time. He's a good otter, all right? So Pastor Nick shows up on time, but he also has a lot of golden retriever in him. Like he's, I mean, just unbelievably kind and sees people and recognizes them. So like, think about the people in your life. You could probably guess, like your spouse, your kids, like who's who. You can take a little assessment. And then it's just good to recognize that. And then parents, let me just talk to you for a second. I know we're talking about like how we're gifted and how we can find our place on our team, but just for a second with parenting, don't try to turn your kid into something they're not. There is nothing worse than two lion parents of a golden retriever child trying to get the golden retriever to act like a lion. That's why therapists have jobs, because of those kind of things, all right? Recognize how God wired your child and then speak words of life into it. If your child is introverted, help them recognize the value of being introverted. Don't try to turn them into an extrovert, okay? So there's just some good awareness when it comes to these kind of things. Now, one of the reasons I'm spending so much time on all this is I think in a church, it's like probably the best way in the history of the world to meet people across this entire spectrum. Well, the best part of being a pastor, other than obviously seeing life change and people meet Jesus, are the interactions I get to have with people on a one-on-one basis. And I just am fascinated by like what people do. Like I'll have lunch with somebody and he's describing his job. Like, y'all, this is not a job like what I do. This is not a real job, okay? I'm talking about somebody who has a real job, like a real job with real consequences and all this stuff. And I'm just fascinated. And then like 2 days later, I'll have coffee with somebody and he's got a real job and it's a totally different type of job, totally different skill set. And these guys would never on any set of circumstances cross paths. But as I'm listening to them, here's what I'm recognizing. They're both on the same page because they love Jesus and they love this church and they love what God's doing. And then I introduce them and a new friendship forms. It's remarkable. So if you're looking to make friends with people who are wired like you and people who are not wired like you, I want to encourage you to start serving somewhere, all right? So we're going to do something over the next 3 weeks. We're offering some serving tours, okay? So we like to experiment. We like to try new things. Unless, as the lion, I think trying new things is awesome, right? I think it's great. All the beavers on our staff, they're not so sure, okay? But we're going to try this for the next 3 weeks. We're going to give you the opportunity to take a tour of all of the different serving environments as they're happening in real time while we're in the service, okay? So for the next 3 Sundays, again, if you scan the QR code, scroll down a little further, you'll see the different slots there. And there's lots of things happening. Like right now, I mean, we talk about kids ministry a lot. So clearly we have people serving the nursery, preschool, elementary. There's now 3 different elementary environments. We've got greeters in the elementary ministry in the hallways. So you'll kind of walk down the hallway and you'll kind of get to see like what's happening there. Like our production team. Now, obviously you're in here on a Sunday, you know that there's people that are right there and they're doing their thing. Hey guys, nice to see y'all, okay? But like what you may not know is that there's a room up there behind the balcony where there's a whole team of people serving right now with all things production. Now, I've only been in that room like twice in my time here and I was chaperoned both times, right? So they don't let me anywhere near the equipment. And I learned something this week. I learned, y'all see these cameras right here that are just going back and forth, like on the, be careful, that one might hit you, right? So right there, like there's one there. Like in the room, like somebody's driving those, y'all. I thought AI operated them. Like I didn't know that. Like wow, like a joystick, like somebody's driving those cameras. And then you see we got camera people all over the place and doing their camera thing. And none of them do camera things. I'm so technical in my terminology. None of them do this for a living. Like they've been trained and they've been taught to do this. So you'll get to go in that room and they may let you touch some of the buttons. I don't know, but that'd be fun. You could go on the tour and see that. There's also another production room like back that way. Again, only been in there a couple times and there's people in there right now and they're making sure our online broadcast happens the way it's supposed to. There's a cafe team. They're already getting everything prepped for things that are gonna happen up here during the week. And then we've got other stuff happening obviously next Sunday. So there's a whole world that's happening while we're in here and we thought it might be fun to kind of pull back the curtains and let you see it. And that might be a way to help you see an area that you might enjoy serving. But I wanted to talk about this under the personality part because the point isn't really the task that you do. It's the relationship that you make. It's the friendship that you form, okay? So if for no other reason, jump into one of these tours, meet some new people in our church, have some fun, get to see these environments firsthand. They are pretty cool. I think you'll enjoy it. You get to go backstage, see a lot of different stuff back there as well, all right? So we got our spiritual gifts, we got our heart, we got our abilities, we got our personality, and finally the E, our experiences. What are your life experiences? What are your good experiences? What are your bad experiences? Some of you went through the teenage years and you didn't do them well. You carry around shame. You haven't taken that to the cross of Jesus Christ. And for a second, might I suggest that God wants to use your experience in a present teenager's life to help them avoid some of the traps you stepped in. God wants to redeem it. Some of you walked through the teenage years and I mean, you weren't perfect, but you made some good decisions, but you're just sitting on it. You're not sharing it with anyone. It's not helping anyone at all. And there's some teenagers up here on Wednesday nights that your wisdom for how you navigated those things could actually help them moving forward. Some of you have experiences in life that have served you well. Some of you have experiences in life that haven't. And that's actually why you're not serving. See, the number one reason why people don't serve isn't because they don't have enough time. We all have busy schedules. We make time for things that matter. The number one reason why people don't serve, don't miss this, is because they've disqualified themselves for something they did in their life. God can't use me because of what I've done. And our God is a God of redemption. Our God loves to step into any situation and any story and use it for good. When God brings you through something, he does so for a purpose and for a reason. Let me give you one of my favorite verses. I love that this verse is in the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. It says that God comforts us in all our troubles. For some of you, that's why you came to church today. Just to be reminded, hey, God's comforting you today in your troubles. But he does it for a purpose. He comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we'll be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. Isn't that remarkable? That God comforts us when we go through difficult things so that we can be a comfort for others. Here's the point. You may want to jot this down somewhere. God never wastes a hurt. God never wastes a hurt. Any experience you go through in your life that's hurtful or painful, he's not gonna waste it. I was thinking about this week. So it's been almost a year since I had my open heart surgery. So if you're new to our church, so this you may be hearing this for the first time, but this time a year ago, I was walking around with four arteries that were 80% blocked and I had no idea. So I could have had a heart attack and would have never seen it coming and went to the cardiologist and we figured out that they were blocked and scheduled a quadruple bypass. So I had a quadruple bypass surgery the end of August last year. And every time I've talked about it, I've tried to make it, you know, seem somewhat uplifting. I don't really want to make it about me. I'm just not wired that way. But just for a second, y'all, it was hard. It was hard. I underestimated how hard it would be. But do you know what's happened over the last year? Two different times on a Sunday, someone has come and found me in the lobby and they've said, hey, I've got to have a bypass surgery over the next 2 weeks. Would you tell me what I need to know? Can you give me like a heads up? Could you pray with me? Could you pray for me? They were both married men, both instances. I prayed with each of them both times. My wife prayed with the spouse both times. My wife was able to just speak such amazing words of life to the spouse, just helping her prepare her for what was about to happen. And what is happening in that moment is only in God's sovereignty and only in the context of local church. What God allows Morgan and I is this amazing privilege to be a conduit of comfort, that he comforted us in our troubles so that we can comfort someone else. We received a special blessing this morning. After the last service, one of those couples came and found us. It's been 5 weeks since he's had his surgery. And y'all, he's doing a lot better 5 weeks later than I was, praise God. And we were able to see them and just celebrate with them. And I'm just grateful for what God did. I mean, some of y'all may not even know this, like my cardiologist to help figure all this out is the person that's on the stage with me right now, playing keys behind me. I mean, only God, only God. And by the way, it's not fair that you have that many gifts. So I just, he's a better person. He knows I love him. What experience has God brought you through that it's time for you to be a conduit of comfort for someone else? It might be the most difficult thing you've ever walked through. God wants to give it purpose. It might be the greatest failure by the world's definition of your life. God wants to give it purpose. Do you know that Jesus told his disciples at the Last Supper that they would do greater things than him? Did you know that Jesus says that about us as well? That he gave us the Holy Spirit, that we will do greater things than him. We're about to move into a time of response where we're gonna call on our God to pour out revival. But can I just say this for a second, church? Revival won't happen unless God's people do the things he's put in front of them. begin to put into practice the gifts that he's given them at their church and their communities and their everyday life. So we're gonna bow our heads together. We're gonna pray. We're gonna ask God to anoint this place with his presence. And then I want you to respond with what God's led you to today. And so God, as we come to you right now, we thank you that you are a God of all comfort. God, we thank you that when we walk through the valley, you walk with us, but you do so in a way where ultimately we recognize it's not about us, that you wanna use us as a conduit of comfort in someone else's life. God, for some of us, we're seeing that for the first time today. God, some of us are recognizing we don't have to be anything other than who you created us to be in order for you to use us in significant ways. God, some of us are recognizing it's time to get off the bench. We've been sitting back too much, watching other people play in the game, and we need to step up and we need to step in and we need to serve to the calling that you've given us for such a time as this. So God, as we enter now into this time of response, pour out your presence in this place. Speak to your children as a loving father, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.